Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sans Pants Radio.
Eat my dust, slime ball! Eat fumes, Wormo!
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for those whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Joel, and today we are looking at setting up a PS5 but not actually playing it yet, and actual games.
PS5 boy.
I got a PS5.
Mr. PS5.
People are asking me how I got the PS5, and I'm thinking, yeah, I could tell you. Or it's not that exciting of a story.
Some
I was just
the best left secret.
Yeah, it's not a very exciting story, and therefore a private story. But I did it. I own a PlayStation 5. Yeah. The PS5. Let me tell you, it's big, it's ugly, and I love it.
Oh, yeah. Is it good?
Look, let me tell you. Setting it up, it's not good. It takes a really long time, and it is very, very annoying.
What's long?
Let me take it. Take us through it step by step. So you have a PS5. Yep. In a box.
I got a big PS5.
A big PS5.
It's big. It's heavy. Okay. Yeah. It's hard to put in the car and hard to take out of the car.
We're not even unboxing it. We're
buying it from the store.
Buying it from the shop.
We are balancing it precariously in our hands. It's so heavy.
Yeah, it's not that heavy. It's pretty heavy.
Okay, walk me through it. I'm heavy. I'm like, I'm straining.
Yeah.
Now how do I open the boot while also holding the PS5?
Well, luckily, the retailer that I got it from, and I'm happy to call it, shout them out. Big shouts to the big company in yellow, JB Hi-Fi.
Oh, you're welcome, JB Hi-Fi.
JB Hi-Fi, if you could send us some ad revenue money, that would be good, because this counts as an endorsement.
Yeah, this is
because they have big bags, and the big bags
got fit a big handle.
Big handle. So I was, I put it in the back seat, but it was easy to open the car door.
Well, that's good
because I was just holding the PS5. Handle. Strong. Yeah. It was strong. That's why one of my arms is significantly huger. Yeah.
For
more enormous.
The PS5 just added JB Hi-Fi to your car. Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah. And it kind of reminds me of the era of when gaming consoles used to be too big and controllers were beasts like the Duke.
The
Xbox
Duke
controller is basically a keyboard size.
Yeah. It's like holding a pumpkin. You know?
Yeah.
You're going to play an Xbox game with a pomegranate? Get the Duke out.
Yeah. Have you ever held the Duke? The original Xbox controller?
No, I don't think I have.
They are so big.
It's ginormous.
Like, it's so big that, like, it almost hurts. I mean, now, because I'm a grown man with grown man hands, holding the thumbsticks probably wouldn't feel that bad. But I remember when I first played Halo, I was like, this hurts because I'm having to push my thumbs out.
As a man who purchased the Duke or a replica of the Duke to play with my PC for some reason, I can tell you that I am desperate for an extra inch on each of my fingers. You know, my hands are not built for the Duke, and that's not my fault. I mean, that's not the Duke's fault. Sorry, that's on me.
If they only had better hands.
Yeah, I am not up to the Duke's standard. That's
fair.
That's
I don't think
here.
Any of us in this room would be up to the Duke's standards.
Not at all. It's an incredible controller. Hmm. It's one of the best. Yeah, one of the best, for sure.
So here's a photo of the Xbox One controller next to the Duke.
Okay. Yeah,
just to give you an idea of something.
Yeah, it's a bit of a, oh my Jesus Christ moment.
I didn't realize just how big it was. I love the big circle in the middle.
Yeah.
In the replica, you press that little circle and it shows you the original Xbox like opening graphic. Which is, you can just watch that anytime you want. Oh, and it does a little noise too, does a little opening Xbox noise. It's great. Ah. I love the Duke. I don't use it because it hurts, but I love it. I love owning it. You know?
It's so big.
Okay, so you've got your PS5.
It's in the backseat of my car.
Safe in your car. All right. How was the drive? Home? Was it stressful?
No, it was pretty good.
Okay, buckle it in?
Great drive. I did buckle it in.
Yeah, that's good. Like a baby.
Like a baby. I gave it a little kiss. Yeah. Didn't give it a kiss. Should have given it a kiss.
Yeah.
Got it. Gave it a kiss. Look, I will admit, I did give it a kiss when I got home. I said, I got a PS5.
That's good. That's pretty funny. Good. Yeah.
Then, yeah, unbuckled it, took it out, pulled into my driveway.
Uh-huh. Unbuckled it, took it out before pulling into the driveway. That's an interesting
yeah,
strategy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, okay, you're driving down your street. Unbuckled it.
Exactly. Unbuckled it, got out of my car, handbrake off. Still in drive.
Ghosting did a roll. Ghosted the whip down your street.
Yeah, yeah. Ghost rode the whip down the street. Was dancing, pointing at my PS5. Yeah. Everyone was clapping.
Woo!
I got $300.
Yeah.
Much like the PS2 video game Pimp My Ride, as we learned last week.
Of course.
But yeah, got home and I was lucky because like our household is a 3-car household, yet a 1-single driveway household.
Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness.
And look, let me tell you, street parking?
Bad.
Dicey. Yeah. You can end up parking very far down the street. And like, obviously I have one big strong arm from carrying the PS5.
I know, yeah.
From the shop to my car, which was a 4 to 5 minute walk.
Yeah.
But doing it again, I don't know.
Fallen off.
Yeah, potentially.
Could have broken something.
Could have broken something. Could have dislocated yourself. My shoulder, who knows?
Yeah.
But no one else was home, so I was able to get that prime time parking position, the magic time park, my driveway. Got out, mere 10 steps, I reckon, from my car to the front door. Ooh. Beautiful.
Ooh. Graceful.
Great. Put the PlayStation down. And I'm like, now I've got to go to work.
Yeah.
Okay. Went to work. 4 days pass.
Oh, boy.
The PS5 still in the box.
Oh, boy.
In the bag in the box.
Poor, not even out of the bag.
Not even out of the bag.
Didn't even before bed take it out of the bag to look at the back.
Didn't have any time.
That's crazy. That's
took
crazy.
It then. So on the, yeah, it would have been the fourth day of me owning it. Took it out of the bag.
Wow.
Had to go to work.
Oh. How long did that take you to take it out of the bag?
So 4 days to take it out of the bag.
Yeah.
Then 2 days for it to be just in the box.
Yeah.
Unopened before it then got set up.
Wow.
I owned a PS5 for a week without taking it out of the box.
That's sad. That's adulthood, isn't it?
It sucked.
Yeah. You get the Nintendo 64 for Christmas. You're tearing it open then and there.
I'm not going to Christmas lunch.
Yeah. You're setting it up on Grandpa's old CRT and you're playing Donkey Kong 64.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
But alas, instead, so the seventh day of me owning it rolls around. I'm like, perfect. Yeah. I'm only working at night today. So I got the day.
Mm-hmm.
Set it up. Realize, okay, so take it out of the box. I'm just like, oh, it's so big.
Yeah.
It's fine. Pick up the controller. I'm like, this is the first time I've held a PS5 controller. It's weighty, but it feels good. It feels like a combination of an Xbox controller and a PlayStation controller come together. Very nice.
Best of both worlds.
Yep. Also worth noting that in this period of time between me buying a PS5 and setting up the PS5, I realized that you get free PS5. There's a free Games with Gold. PS Plus.
Yeah, yeah.
Game of the Month, which was Oddworld.
Oh.
A sequel to...
AIDS Odyssey.
Well, yes.
Strange's Wrath.
A sequel to the remake of Abe's Odyssey.
Oh, okay.
So it's a sequel to Oddworld, New and Tasty.
Yeah, yeah.
This one is called Oddworld.
Old and yuck.
Oddworld. Good vamping, guys. Yeah. Really, really saved me there.
Yeah, this is...
Well, you know, you are starting a sentence.
Yeah, that's not on us.
There's no
Oddworld Soulstorm.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, yeah, I'll add that to my PS5 that's not set up, but I can claim a free game. That's nice. I also got Spider-Man the Deluxe Edition, so that's the Miles Morales, but also the remake of the PS4
that's
one.
That's real good, yeah.
As a PS5, because I haven't played the PS4 Spider-Man, if you remember our very first episode of Thumb Cramps, Joel Zammit gave, I think, a three thumb review to.
Yeah,
I didn't know if I enjoyed it. I clocked it, 100%ed it, mostly.
Still didn't know if you had a good time.
Yeah, I don't know. A good at least 20 to 40 hours. Don't remember.
I have some huge news speaking about playtimes coming up in the future.
I'm excited.
So, set up a place. Oh, yeah. The other game I bought was, and Andrew Levins, if you're listening, please tune out because I messaged him and I said, I'm buying a PS5 today. What game should I get?
Yeah.
And I said, I'm thinking about getting this and this. And he said, don't get this one. What are you doing? And I said, okay, I won't get it. And then I bought it.
What is it?
Immortals Phoenix Rising.
Which one's that?
Oh, yeah.
It was originally called Gods and Monsters. It's a new Ubisoft game.
Oh, okay, it's their Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, it's their Breath of the Wild. I like Breath of the Wild. Apparently, this one's quippy. Got no time for that. But it was a $50 PS5 game, and he was like, don't buy it. I was like, I'm not going to buy it. Then when I went into the store, this JB Hi-Fi gave me a discount for working in a separate thing, but close to this JB Hi-Fi that I'm not going to explain further because we're getting closer and closer to doxing.
You could have just said, got a discount.
I got a discount for working in the center.
Okay.
Which is fine. Look, there's centers, there's cinemas, there's JB Hi-Fi. There's
all over the world.
Exactly. Who knows where he is?
Exactly. Who knows? Yeah. And don't think about it.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, you can have this for $40. And I was like, I'm not going to say no to a $40 PS5 game, even if Andrew Levins tells me not to buy it. Yeah. And I haven't played Assassin's Creed or anything like that. So when it makes me climb up a tower to do a thing, I'll be like, cool, I've heard so much about this, but I've never personally done it.
Exactly.
Anyway, so back to a week after I've bought a PS5. I'm taking it out of the box.
Did you ask Levins on day one when you purchased this the PS5 or what game you should also purchase? Or was this a like?
So I had a PS5 for one day before I had any games.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, I just got the PS5.
Just trying to work out the time.
Because also, as you remember in the story, didn't have a lot of time. Didn't have enough time to set it up. So when I got the I got the phone call that the PS5 was in, and I was like, oh boy.
Yeah.
I got like 2 hours before I got to go to work, plenty of time to get it and nothing else. Didn't want to think about games.
Yeah.
Just wanted to get it done.
With Phoenix Rising as well, I think part of buying a new console is playing the bad game that comes with the brand new console.
Yeah.
So I think you're just getting the full experience. That's
And again, $40 for a PS5 game. And they retail in Australia. The RRP is $110.
Yeah. Wow. There you go.
And I've heard like, incredible things about,
but that it's pretty good, and some people quite like it.
Yeah,
terrible things. Yeah,
if I play it for 5 to 10 hours and like those 5 to 10 hours before I get sick of it,
that's worth $40.
That's definitely $40.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Levins.
Yeah.
Anyway, setting up the PS5. I've got like 3 hours before work. I'm like, that's fine. That's plenty of time. Yeah. Set it up. I'll be able to play some games, install some games, have a nice time. And I'm like, okay, cool. So when I log into my PS5 account, my PlayStation account, it's just going to sync everything.
Yeah.
Wrong. Oh. You got to plug your PS4 and your PS5 in at the same time to sync the data.
What? So you have to have your PS4 on and your PS5 on.
And you need to go sync data from PS4.
Whoa.
And then go to the PS4, turn the PS4 off for 1 second, and then it makes the beep. And then it starts transferring data, but it means that you need both consoles plugged in and both connected to the TV at the same time because you need to see both screens.
That's crazy.
Not very often, and you could easily just do it, not both at the same time, obviously, but enough, like you need to read what is on both screens.
So you kind of almost need two screens.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the process is you turn on your PS5, it asks you to log in and do the regular console stuff. It downloads an update, which again, because it's a brand new console, is huge.
Yeah.
So that took, let's just say 20 minutes was wiped off.
Yep.
It restarts. I'm like, cool. Then it was like, there's a new update for the wireless controller. I was like, yes, sick. Yeah, while we're here.
Yeah. Why wouldn't there be?
In for a penny, in for a pound.
Yeah, that was like another 5 minutes. So that one, that was a small update. Who cares?
No big deal.
And then I was like, cool. Okay. Stuff's there, but like none of my trophies, none of the, like my data and stuff like that. I've got to sync that.
Yeah.
That's fine. And then I was like, sync to PS4. And it was like, plug your PS4 and turn it on. I was like, okay, interesting. But then presumably all of it's going to be done through the PS5. Wrong. Because then you've got to, it's like, it gives you the instruction of what to do on your PS4, but you've also got to read what's on the PS4.
Yeah.
So then you do that, restarts.
Yeah.
And then it's like, cool, what data do you want to sync? Save data and like stuff like that. I was like, yes, I need that stuff. And it was like, do you want to sync the games you got downloaded? I was like, no, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need
If you need to play those games, you can play
I'll just download the games. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. And I was like, cool, that won't be too long. And then it's like, estimated time, 45 minutes. I was like, are you kidding me? And I was like, do you have any discs of games you want to install at the same time? I was like, if it's already going to take 45 minutes, absolutely not. And it was like, you've got these games, do you want to install one? I was like, oh, okay, Oddworld, let's just install it
because
it's a PS5 game. Small, yeah, sure. Surely, let's do it. And it's not crazy small, but it was smaller than the others. It was like 10 gig or something. And I was like, we're doing that at the same time. I was like, yes, sick. Let's do that. So I went for a walk.
Yeah.
I came back 80%. I was like, ugh. I made myself some lunch before I went to work. That was fine. Was still watching the bar. It transferred. It did. It reset. And I was like, cool. I have 20 minutes to play PS5.
But you had the disc of Phoenix Rising, didn't you?
But the thing is, Joel Zammert and the listeners, discs don't mean shit anymore because you don't play the game off the disc. It's got to install onto the hard drive.
Remember Again, another callback to an early Thumb Cramps.
I don't remember, but the listeners do.
Fallout 76.
Oh, right.
It was like 80 gig, and that installed, and then it was like, and then obviously the 80 gig update.
Yeah, cool.
That's just games these days.
Why are you doing this?
Good. I mean, again, $40. I'm buying. That would be crazy. Yeah.
I mean, I'm...
But yeah, like, I got to put the... And Spider-Man is also, I know, enormous. So I was like, I'm not...
Yeah.
And also, here's a thing that I didn't realize. PS5 storage space, not actually that big.
Really?
Especially considering how big the games are. Oh. It's 800 gig, but then when you get it with everything installed, it's like, think like 640.
And like a lot of games will be around 70, 80 gig.
Yeah,
anyway,
or
so
bigger.
Like, yeah, or bigger. So some of the, theoretically eight games.
Yeah, so I think the new Call of Duty is close to 200.
Wow.
But I think they're also going to start figuring out how to make it smaller because you can't just have...
You can't be doing that.
Yeah.
You can't be doing that.
Yeah, especially because like you can play PS4 games from an external hard drive, but you can't play PS5 games from an external hard drive.
Literally, the next question was like, so can you plug an external hard drive that's like several terabytes? No? Okay. Yeah.
Well, yes, for PS4 games.
But not for PS5.
Yeah. Why would you? That'd be silly.
I guess, hey, it's a solid state drive. It's quick.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not playing eight games at the same time.
No, that's true.
But I do. It is a shared console because it is in the lounge room of a house where I live with two other people who presumably want to play other games.
Yeah, that is going to be a
Have they played more of it than you have?
No. Okay. I think they know that at this point, if one of them was to start a PS5 game before I was able to, that would be cruel and rude.
Just a dog.
A big dog move. To be honest, I was scared was going to happen for a bit. Just because, like, I didn't say anything. I wasn't like, please don't play it before.
Yeah,
they don't know what you've played.
I
mean, I knew they weren't going to set it up.
Yeah.
Like, that would be...
Would you have been upset if they
set it up? Oh, absolutely. It would have been a fight. Are you kidding me? I buy a $700 console and they set it up and play it first? I'd move out.
What if they set it up and didn't Yeah, didn't just play set anything? It up. What if they were like, I'm doing you a great kindness.
Yeah, I'd be thankful. I'd be like, thank God I didn't have to go through that.
But then I didn't... But, oh, wait, depends what type of... See, but the unboxing, like, that's exciting.
Yeah,
you don't get a brand new console very often.
That is true. But then I think I'd also be excited to come home and see it set up, and I'd be like, ooh. Yeah.
I think I'd be mixed. I think I'd be like...
I would not have cared. I would have been like, thank Christ, I don't have to deal with that.
I think if I could get the unboxing, and then I could go somewhere else, and then I could come back. And
that's fine. But if I'm not doing... I'm saying it goes from when it's in the JB Hi-Fi bag to then set up and ready to go.
Yeah.
I'd be like,
I'm the opposite. Yeah. I'm if I could come home and someone is playing a game, I'm like, sick, is this the PS5 I got? They're like, yes. I'm like, that rules.
That's fair.
And I would sit down and maybe make myself a pot noodle.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's a dichotomy of the Joels.
Yeah.
I need to be involved a little bit because otherwise, like, it doesn't feel like my console.
I'm like, did you see Spider-Man Death Circle? Do it again.
Yeah, I didn't pay for it, I wouldn't care. Like it was a.
I think I just need those little brief moments of excitement of touching something new out of a thing, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't need
even
that.
Even a Switch controller when you buy a new one. Just the small, brief moment of excitement.
Okay,
it doesn't last more than a couple of seconds.
Okay. Well, if I get a new Switch controller, I'll make sure to open until you're around.
Yeah, thank
you. And you can do that.
Yeah.
So basically what happened was installed Oddworld, fired it up. Mm-hmm. There is so many cutscenes at the start of that game. Tying into the end of a game I haven't played.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
But you need that for context.
Did not know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Got to run around for, I would say, about 45 seconds, and then I had to go to work.
And have you played it since?
No.
Yeah, that's good. And when will you get a chance to play it?
Maybe Thursday. This is being recorded on a Tuesday.
That's great.
So yesterday I was at the studio for 12 and a half hours.
Gracious.
Then today I was here for probably five or six, but then I'm going straight to the cinema.
Yeah.
And then when I wake up tomorrow, I come back here, and then I'm working at the cinema from 4 till 12.
Yeah.
But then Thursday.
No work or just at night?
I think just at night.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You'll have the whole day, depending on how long it takes to download any of the other games you want to play.
Yeah.
I did download Mortal Kombat 10 from the, because one of the things that you get from the PlayStation, being a PlayStation Plus member on a PS5 is there's like 20 PS4 games that you can't access for free unless you've got a PS5.
Oh, okay.
Like the PS4. It's pretty much just like the greatest hits of PlayStation 4.
Yeah, sure.
You go to PS5 if you want to catch up. Mortal Kombat 10 was one of them, and I was like, I've been talking and thinking a lot about Mortal Kombat. Yeah, I want to play this. Yeah. So I did remotely install that.
That's good.
Okay. Mm. You'll have that. You could always, before bed, I know it's bleary-eyed, but just quickly turn it on and just queue things up to install.
Yeah. There is a very small chance, especially because I'm talking about it now, that I'll just sneaky play a bit tonight.
Ooh.
I also, and this was a dumb purchase, but I was just like, well, I got the second one.
Yeah.
And I like Abe's Odyssey, and also they're weird and seem up my alley. The first one, the remake of the first one, was on sale for $6 on the PlayStation Store. I'll buy that. So I've installed that as well.
Okay, so
that's so funny that my first PlayStation 5 experience might be Abe's Odyssey.
New and tasty.
For PS4. A game that I also could play on my Switch.
Yeah. Huh. Wow.
But I'm excited to fire up Spider-Man at some point because I'd never played it. Then everyone talks so much about the web swinging, and with the
really
new controller.
It really makes you feel like you are playing a Spider-Man.
It's a love letter to Spider-Mans.
Yeah. And also Astro Bot's Play Center or whatever it's called.
True.
The game that's installed on it. Apparently that's really fun.
Yeah.
Andrew Evans also encouraged me to play that before I play anything else, but I instead played Abe's
Odyssey. Playing Abe's Odyssey. Yeah. Take that, Andrew Levins.
I got to go through the menus a little bit and just to see what's going on. And you know what the PS5 has that the PS4 and previous PlayStation consoles don't have?
What's MP3 that? Player.
No, the previous ones had that.
I think the Xbox had that.
Play count timer.
Oh!
A play time counter, I mean.
That's your favorite thing. That's the tomes.
It is the tomes.
That's the ancient.
And let me tell you, it was alarming to look at some of the games I have on PlayStation 4 and be like, huh, I didn't know how long we'd played it for, and wowee, that's alarming.
Also, it goes back and be like, hey, you remember all these games you played on the PS4? This is how long you played them for.
Mm-hmm. What's the most alarming,
please? What's your most alarming? Go on,
So in 2020, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 came out.
Yeah, we know that.
So yeah. 125 hours.
Yeah, of course.
Gracious.
But this one, so that's a lot. And also me and one housemate both got very addicted to it.
Yeah, it's a lot, but it's on brand,
But when we pre-ordered Tony Hawk, and I pre-ordered it because there was the first level demo.
Yeah.
So that is obviously a game in itself, a separate thing. 18 hours.
Wow. Just on the demo
in
alone.
10 days. The demo. Thank you, pandemic.
Yeah.
But
18
hours of
purely the warehouse
level of Tony Hawk
Pro
Skater 1
and
2.
That's amazing.
Okay.
And then there was just like a few huge ones because like everyone that I live with has played through The Last of Us. So the first Last of Us had like 90 something hours. Trying to think if there was any other huge ones or like alarming. GTA San Andreas also has like 100 hours in it, but I don't play that.
That's so funny.
Just firing off in the background. Yeah, it's exciting.
I'm excited to hear. I mean, like, presumably, eventually, we'll all have a PS5, and I'm excited for when we're reviewing PS5 games.
Like,
let me just check the tomes. That's going
to
be good.
I'm going to have to hit up Levins for another song.
Yeah. So how many thumbs? What are we talking?
Look. I'm pretty much being edged by the next generation.
Imagine the final orgasm, though.
Mm. Yeah, imagine it's not good.
Well, it's going to be Abe's Odyssey New and Tasty, which you've never played before and only assume you'll like. So I think you might have what they call a ruined orgasm in your future.
I think that what I might also do is maybe, you know, separately install one of the PS5 games.
Probably a good
idea. Yeah.
Maybe play Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think Spider-Man, like a very lauded, beloved game. Yeah.
If I wait a week, Returnal, which looks crazy, comes out.
What's Returnal?
I'm not even going to try to explain it because games that I don't have a full grasp on that I try to explain have mixed results on this show.
Yeah.
But I would say owning a PS5 and not playing it and just looking at it, 3 thumbs.
It's still pretty good.
Yeah.
Above average.
Yeah. It is good to know that I have a PS5.
Yeah.
It's big.
That's good.
I still have the PS4 set up because I haven't had a chance to log into some of the stuff in the PS5.
Maybe play some PS4.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I'll play Abe's Odyssey on that.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
But yeah, like, so stuff like, I haven't even had a chance to, like, because, yeah, this is in, like, the lounge room of a share house, so we use the PlayStation for like Netflix and stuff like that. I haven't even had a chance to log into my Netflix on the PS5.
That's
so
great.
I can't unplug the PS4 because then the TV pretty much doesn't work.
That's so exciting.
My life is a disaster, but I at least have a PS5.
You sound busy. I'll admit.
Okay. Well, I've been playing a little game.
A game?
A little game.
Oh, jealous.
Called Pilgrims.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
On the Apple Arcade.
Oh my God.
He's which back.
Apparently was
Steve
one of the
Jobs
very.
Jobs over here.
Was one of the very first games distributed on Apple Arcade.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. It is. Guess how long it takes to beat this game?
Half an hour.
Half an hour, JD?
7 minutes.
7 minutes. Well, according to howlongtobeat.com, 45.
Wow.
Minutes.
That's brief.
It's a brief game. That's, I was,
but still more time than JD has played.
Yes. So I going against using my MacBook Pro to play some video games, I played this one on my phone.
Okay. Oh.
Actually.
Didn't learn the lesson.
Yeah. Well, this game, it works fine on a phone.
Oh. So when I've typed in Pilgrim's Apple.
Yep. Yeah.
The Google search results recommended, and I'm going to need a bit of an explanation on this. So Pilgrim's Apple, I mean, I wanted it to autocorrect to Apple Arcade, but it didn't. Pilgrim's Apple Arcade walkthrough.
Oh, yeah.
If it's a 45-minute game, you need a walkthrough.
That's wild.
But these next two are the ones that I'm
puzzled
by. And Jackson, let me know which one of these you find more interesting. Okay. Pilgrim's Apple Arcade Broom?
Oh.
Or Pilgrim's Apple Arcade Priest?
Oh. Broom.
Yeah, Broom for me too. Well, Google agrees because that one was higher. What is the Broom and the Priest?
Tell me about the Broom.
Are they tricky puzzles?
No, well, the game is a point and click adventure game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so it starts off with a little cutscene of I think it's like five people playing a game of poker, and one of them is the devil.
Classic.
And it looks like a priest bets his soul and the devil gets it.
There's
and
the
that's the priest.
Ah.
So
why are people Googling that then?
I don't know.
They want to know about him.
I'm going to click on it.
And so you start off as one of the players of the Hand of Poker the next day, and you wake up and you want to go get on a boat. And
okay.
So you go down, do a boat, and it's, again, the art, I must say, is grotesque. It's gross. You'll love it, Jack.
Ooh.
I think, like, this game, up your alley, just on the art
style
alone.
Like the unpleasant, and it's only 45 minutes.
And it's only 45 minutes. And the gameplay, the gameplay is so easy. There is no dialogue. Everyone's talking kind of like in murmurs. Like, you know, like, blah, 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 blah.
That's good.
There is, at one point, some kind of fish monster that you can feed poison to.
Oh!
And he gets sick, he doesn't like it.
That's good.
It's good. And so you wake up and you're like, well, I've set myself out. And he's like, each location is a bit of a cut, like a scene.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of do something in that scene.
Okay.
And so you go down, you're like, oh, there's a boat. And you're like, lady, I want to get on that boat. And she's like, through dialogue and like little speech bubbles with like little items, you realize that she's not going anywhere until you give her a bird or get rid of a bird.
Okay.
I forget. And she's like, okay, I'll get a bird.
You know, take...
Take a bird, give a bird.
Whatever, something with a bird.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm getting harassed by a bird. Get rid of the bird. You're like, I got this. And so then you journey all over. There's like a world map. You can kind of like then click to different places. And the more things you do, the more things you open up. And that's basically the game. It's very, very simple. The puzzle's not that hard. So, for example, you'd go to a place and there's like, say, a broom you pick up.
Mm-hmm. Ah,
you can click on it.
Priest.
Yeah.
Get the broom, and then the broom appears like a little card down in your like the bottom of the playing, whatever it's like your hand, basically.
Yeah, your inventory. Yeah,
like Loop Hero.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
sure. And then,
there's a hand to the bottom of the screen, right?
Yeah.
And it's all cards?
Yeah,
it's Loop Hero.
And then you can go places, and you can be like, okay, I have my card, and I play my card. I grab it,
yeah.
I put it on something, and there's a little animation. And if it doesn't work, it'll still happen. So, for example, at one point you get a gun.
Oh, yeah.
And you say you get like a thing and you shoot something and it shoots it. You're like, ha, ha, ha. And you're like, oh, it didn't do anything, but that was fun.
Yeah,
okay. Cool. And then, or for example.
Can you shoot the devil?
No. Well, you can, but the devil
gets
a bit mad at you. He's like, why are you shooting me?
Yeah.
But what you do
is. You're the devil. And I've got a gun.
Yeah, but
are you telling me? If you,
Yeah.
If you give a man a gun and you put him in front of the devil, he's going to shoot the devil.
Of course.
Or maybe,
yeah. But what you want to do is you want to go and get the priest, and you can bamboozle the priest. you get like a lasso, and you tie him up or whatever.
Hog tie a priest.
And you
stick
go
it to a horse. Ride that horse into town.
Yeah, and then when you go to the devil, you're like, hey, devil.
Here's
the priest. You chuck the priest in the hole, and devil's like, sick. That was great. I big appreciate this. And then the priest's soul escapes, and devil's like, nah, grabs it and pulls it down. It's good.
So the game ends with you hog-tying a priest to a horse.
That's the thing you can do incidentally, I guess.
The game ends with eventually you get in the boat and chuff off.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
But there's other things you can do with like in around this. Like there's one like the big chunky boy with a gun. He ends up killing a dragon and marrying a princess and becoming king maybe. I don't know. That's a lot of fun.
Good on him. A true hero's journey.
Yeah. He gets there's like different achievements because you can do different like certain things different ways. So there's like, you know, many different ways you can kind of do some things. One thing you can do is like marry the princess while in your bathers.
Okay.
Which I did accidentally because when we got to the lake, I'm like, let's get my big boy out.
Yeah.
And he wanted to go for a swim. And I'm like, that's good. And he was naked from over then. So he was like, I know what I'm about. And I'm like, I know what you're about. You like getting wet. And the sea monster lived in there was not happy.
Did you? Because, yes. Like, I at no point did Zaman establish that he had like a party of characters.
Well, presumably the party of characters are cards.
Yeah, yeah. No, my point is when he was like, "I saw a lake. I thought I'd get my big boy out." I thought
he was talking about his dick. Yes,
I gotta like pull my dick out. And I was like, okay,
yeah, fair enough. Yeah, when I see a lake, I get my dick out. All right,
to either piss in the lake or just have my balls touch a lake.
It's all good. At one point, you have to get
a bad sensation though.
I think it's great actually.
Well, to wade into the lake.
No, not to wade in. To just dunk your balls. Just
imagine a hot, balmy day and they're a bit sweaty.
If it's balmy, then that's changes
everything. It is balmy in my mind.
I don't associate a lake with a hot day, though. I associate a lake with it being like a bit cool.
Really? Mm. For me, I can imagine both. Yeah. I have
swamp,
that power.
Swamp, hot day.
Swamp.
Swamp, hot.
Oh, I see. I thought you were like, swamp, hot day. I was like, swamp, what?
Cold day.
Copper for a what? Yeah, it's a very simple
Lagoon,
game. It's very
hot
easy.
Day.
Yeah. There's not much really like thought that can go into this, to be perfectly honest. It's a game that you can happily play, maybe half asleep.
Yeah.
On Steam for $7. Would you pay $7 for it?
That would explode. Became a little pile of ash.
I asked him the sacred question.
$7. This was free.
It's not free.
Yeah. It's free on Apple Arcade.
Yeah, how much is Apple Arcade per month?
Yeah, but I'm not just playing Pilgrim.
Yeah, but what if you did?
Oh, what if I did? Then I've just thrown
crazy.
Basically, I've pissed money into the wind.
You've got your big boy out and you've pissed in the lake.
Yeah.
Okay. $7. No.
$6.99.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Nice.
I don't know if I'd pay any more than like $2.99 for this game.
$2.99. Still more than I was for 45 minutes.
Like it's
but a well made 45.
It's a well made 45 minutes. It's entertaining.
Yeah.
Replayability?
I think there is replayability, but not really for me.
Not for you.
Because like, some games will have replayability, but you're like, I've actually got everything I'll ever need.
Which is the end credits.
Yeah. There is like you know. Ways you could handle a scene differently.
Yeah.
But like, I don't care. So there was one where you got to kill a dragon.
Sure.
And I think there's different ways of killing a dragon. One is like you
gun.
Gun, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think I got the broom.
Broom.
And I chucked it in his mouth, and so he was like, ah. Yeah. And then I got a sword and cut off
his
head.
That'll get you. That'll so that get you that was that. The mouth. Yeah.
But there's some like really cook scenes. There's like a witch that overtakes some like old nonna's house that you have to get back, and you do it by burning her eyes out. Oh, so yeah. That was fun.
Is how? The vibe kind of like Americana-y?
Yeah,
just, I don't know. But what? Poker with the devil, and then like
I see what you mean. It's very like 1800-esque, but also like medieval
to
fantasy.
Me, oh, it okay. looks like the same art style in my head as the Lost Vikings.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, what? What? You've never played The Lost Vikings, Jackson.
No.
Oh, man, it's super up your alley. You're a team of three Vikings that get lost in time and space. All three of them have different abilities. One's fat with a shield.
That does sound.
I think one jumps. One has a sword, I think.
I think I remember.
It's old. It's really old.
Yeah, no, not the art style.
It makes me imagine the art style of a game I played called Where the Water Tastes Like Wine that sucked shit. But I don't know if it's that either.
Where the water...
The premise of the Where the Water Tastes Like Wine is you're a hobo maneuvering around America.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at that art style. It's like that, but more caricature. And again, it's a little bit
more
gross.
Medieval, like England-y.
I'll show you the art style.
Yeah, please, give me a gander. Where the Water Tastes Like Wine is like, you collect stories. It sucked. It sucked so much. But the soundtrack was fine. Yeah, show me the art. I'm intrigued. I don't know if I'll ever play it, but...
So why would you describe that style? I would call it kind of storybook, bit folklore-y, kind of a bit gross.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's almost like maybe it's hand-drawn looking.
Yeah. It would be like, to me, it reminds me of like comic books drawn in Europe.
It looks a little like a little cop-heady, but like modern.
Yeah, I can see that.
Which too. I think just means hand-drawn. Anyway, that's Lost Vikings.
Hell yeah. Lost Vikings seems great.
It's on Switch. They just added, it was part of, look, it doesn't matter.
I'll never know. So, how many thumbs for,
like it does what it says on the tin, you know what I mean? It's like a point and click adventure game. It's entertaining. There were some nice bits where you got to kill a priest with a devil.
That's good.
Look, three thumbs and a knuck. It's not offensive. Yeah. It's not inoffensive. It's pretty
but
good.
But sometimes that's, you know,
fine. It's a good way to kill 45 minutes. Yeah. If you have Apple Arcade, give it a bill. If you don't pay $7.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's absurd.
Yeah.
Well,
I've been playing. okay.
What have you been playing, Jack?
I've been playing a game that I've played many times before, but I actually don't think I've ever reviewed on Thumbcramps. Or if I have, I've forgotten.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
Tomb Raider 2013, the remake of Tomb Raider.
Fairly you, certain you have.
No, all right, you here haven't. We go. You reviewed either the second or third one in the trilogy.
Hey, yeah. Bambino, there you go.
I have a huge announcement quickly, though.
Please.
Cut the Rope Remastered, part of Apple Arcade.
Oh!
Downloading now.
That's so good to hear. So Tomb Raider 2013, this was the remake or reboot, I guess, of the Terminator.
Yeah, Terminator.
Tomb Raider franchise that then spawned off Rise and Fall of the Tomb Raider, which I have played. I love these third-person weird adventure games. Weird. They're not that weird. They're pretty generic.
Uncharted.
Yeah. One thing I find really funny about the original Tomb Raider game is that and I remember thinking this was awesome when I first played it, but in retrospect, it's really weird. So, like, you're Lara Croft, and you're like young Lara Croft. You've never had an adventure before, or whatever. And you're on this island because your ship's crashed there, and there's a bunch of bad blokes on the island. And you get like attacked by the bad blokes, and in like a panicked moment, you kill the main bad bloke, right?
That's but
it's
good.
It's like a It's like an intense scene. It's done with cutscene, quick time events or whatever. But it's like Lara's really distraught about it. She's like, oh my God, I just killed a fella. That's crazy. But then at the end of the game, there's like a scene where it's one of those, you know, those classic like moments in games where it's like heaps of enemies are just spawning and you just got to kill them all. And then once you've killed a certain amount of them, you can move on to the next area. And in that, Lara's like, yeah, take that. Like, eat shit, you cowboys or whatever. Like, she's like, it's like she's loving it. But it's really weird that it's like presented as a really heroic moment. But it's like, so this story, on one hand, it's the story of Lara Croft's first adventure, but it's also the story of Lara Croft being desensitized to killing others.
Yeah.
And that's so strange. What a strange thing for the... And it's kind of feels cool because you're like, that's a character change that I'm playing through. But it's also just very strange. Anytime I'm playing these games, I do it with the Uncharted ones as well. Like, I love to play through it on the hardest difficulty because I think that otherwise...
You like Nathan Drake being shot in the head.
Yeah, I love it. And I love whenever... I mean, it doesn't happen in the Tomb Raider one, but in the Uncharted, whenever anybody dies, the other player that is there, like the other character always yells their name. Like if Nathan Drake falls off a cliff, the other person's like, Nathan! And that's funny. It's funny to hear again.
Do you think that's a reference to Metal Gear Solid?
I think so. Mm. But only when it's Nathan Drake falling off the edge. Yeah, yeah.
Nathan! Metal Gear Solid 5. I should put that on my PS5.
Yeah, you should.
I'll get sucked into that. You'll never see me again.
Yeah.
I'll quit both jobs.
Gone. You'll be gone. it's an old game. Like, again, it came out in 2013, and it does show because it's like it's all of that stuff that at the time was borrowed from like Uncharted 2, and Uncharted 2 is quite dated, so you can kind of see you're playing a copy of an old game. So it's obvious there, but it's still a lot of fun. I don't know.
A lot of just like hide behind the walls.
Yeah. A lot of like cover based shooting, a lot of like sneak up behind enemy and press A, which to be honest, video games have yet to move beyond as a way to stealth kill somebody.
Batman.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to stealth kill Batman.
And also, you know, because it is such an old game, and in this specific genre, there's so much that has changed in, like, later games in the genre that isn't here, so sometimes that can be quite frustrating. And, like, also, when you're playing it on the hardest difficulty, the moment anybody sees you, you're dead, but, like, there's just no way of telling sight lines, and it's all very glitchy and kind of wild. Graphically, it looks nice enough. I remember being able to get into as part of the complete collection, which is what I'm playing on my PC, to be able to use like an original Lara Croft, like the outfit, but it just made you look like Lara Croft from the PS1 era, but I don't have that anymore. And I wanted to play through as PS1 pointy tits Lara Croft, but it won't let me for some reason.
It's an unlockable thing, but I don't know how to unlock it.
Yeah.
You accidentally sold some DLC you bought.
Damn it. I realized that one of the costumes is Ripley, like, because the complete collection or whatever comes with a bunch of DLC costumes. Yeah, yeah. One of them is just Ripley from Aliens.
That's cool.
So I'm looking like that, which is fun.
Ripley had a life.
Yeah, Ripley did. Man. But I don't know. It's fun. It's good to get back into again. It's a playthrough.
I don't know. What do you want from me? It's a You've heard about it. If you're gonna play it, you've already played it. If you're not gonna play, it,
you
probably
won't. Came out in 2013. What are you trying to think about?
2021. It's almost 10 years old.
Come on, don't play a 10-year-old game. There'll be something better out now.
Yeah, like Uncharted 4.
Yeah,
or Lara Croft 3.
Well, no, to be honest, I think this is the best of the Lara Crofts because it's not very convoluted. You know, it's just like. You land on an island, you got to get off the island.
Yeah.
Figure it out. There's some kooky mythology shit happening. Whereas then the second Lara Croft is like, Jesus is back and he's in Russia now. And the third one was like, the moon's going to explode or something.
Jesus is back?
In the second Lara Croft game,
Jackson,
your dad...
you sold me harder on this series than anyone ever has sold me on anything ever.
In the second Lara Croft game...
The PlayStation app is now like quite good and usable due to, like, I guess like a huge overhaul when the PlayStation 5 came back up.
Yeah.
So whilst you talk about this, I'm going to browse and maybe buy and install.
Okay. Well, let me explain, because maybe as I explain it, you'll want to less. So the second Lara Croft game is Lara Croft is following in her dad's footsteps, trying to find the prophet. And they only ever call him the prophet, but it's very clear that it's Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
And he's in, maybe not Russia, but in like Northern Europe to Russia kind of area. Mm-hmm.
Cold Europe.
Cold Europe. And then you find him and he's like a hot guy.
Okay.
And he leads the resistance and you fight some giant knights at one point.
Oh, yeah.
And then in the third one, Lara Croft...
What happens to Jesus?
Yeah. You say goodbye, Jesus. And he says, goodbye, Lara. Or maybe he dies. I don't remember. He probably doesn't die. He's Jesus. I don't know. He's immortal. They found a magic apple. I can't remember. Anyway, then in Fall of Tomb Raider, Lara Croft raids the wrong temple in South America.
You keep saying Fall of the Tomb Raider, but there is no game
Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
So is Shadow or Rise the second one?
Rise is the second one.
Okay.
She rises, then there's a shadow.
Okay.
Yeah. And then in... Shadow of the Tomb Raider, she raids the wrong temple, and in doing so, she starts the end of the world where I think the moon's going to explode, and in the end, you fight some guy who gets sun magic, and I don't know.
Is that the one where you have to fight him and they're in a helicopter and you're not in a helicopter?
No, that's Uncharted 2.
Oh, okay.
Play Uncharted 2 if you're going
to
play a game.
I've got Uncharted 1 to 4 and haven't played any
of them.
Don't
play 1. And that's the problem. Everybody's like, oh, I'll play the Uncharted series. And they play 1, which sucks shit. And they're like, it's bad. And you're like, start with 2. You don't need to play 1. 2's got the great train sequence. That rules. Trains!
I also...
Forget about the next coming of Jesus. Think about a train.
It turns out that I also own Rise of the Tomb Raider. Didn't know that I had it.
There you go. Yeah,
might have been a PlayStation Plus game.
Yeah. Mm. Well, anyway, play Uncharted instead.
Yeah, this old Tomb Raider you've been playing again.
That's pretty good.
It's good.
Yeah, that's.
You having fun? Are you going to finish it?
I'd like to.
Have you clocked it before?
Yes.
Are you going to clock it again?
I'd like to clock it again. Mm. It's like, I don't know.
Are you going to go play the second and third one and clock those again too?
I've clocked the second one like 3 times for some reason. I don't know why.
You need more Jesus in your life.
Yeah.
This is how you're getting it.
That's you going to church.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm having a moment of spiritual loneliness. Time to crack open Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Look, it's fun. It's fine. I'd like to clock it again. These kind of games are very like relaxing for me in a way, or not relaxing, but they're so easy to play through. I don't have to think, so
that's
kind of appreciate.
So
that.
Funny because this game, like major criticism this game has is like it's really intense and powerful for Lara, except her death. So like super violent and
grisly.
Horrible to watch.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's weird. It is empowering for Lara, but it's also so weird because it's just the story of her becoming a sociopath. So, hey, I don't know.
Falling into... late, gets stabbed through the throat by some wood.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah.
It's grisly.
It's bonkers. And it's also funny because the game doesn't really like, nowhere else is it that gruesome. It's just like only when you're just trying to do like a simple platforming puzzle or whatever, and then you fall in a river and, get stabbed in the head by a rock or whatever. The game starts with you washing up on shore and then you're tied by your legs in a cave underground and you got to swing into fire to then catch fire on the rope so that you can escape or whatever.
Yeah. Hectic.
Yeah, but it's fun. And like the puzzles are simple. It does this nice thing that I kind of wish the Uncharted series did as well, where it's like, oh, throughout the game, there are these little extra temples or whatever that you can do.
Tombs
to raid. And they're always like just kind of like one puzzle to get like a upgrade or whatever. But they're always fun and they're always a bit unique.
Yeah.
I think they were more unique in Rise of the Tomb Raider. Like in that, like it's like, oh, this is like a former KGB laboratory or whatever. Or this is a...
That's not a tomb.
But in certainly Shadow of the Tomb Raider, they were all just like Aztec temples of various degrees.
Mm.
And that got a bit samey after a while.
Fair enough.
So yeah, look, probably going to give it 4 thumbs. It's a little bit dated, but otherwise it's still a really solid game.
Yeah.
It's absolutely the kind of series that if you're ever like, I just want like a gamey game. Do you know what I mean?
A gamey game.
Yeah. Are you in the pocket of Big Evan? Is Evan being like, can you sneak in a gamey game reference?
I'm in Evan's big pocket. That's what's happening.
Thumbcramps is in the pocket of Big Evan. And gamey game.
Yeah. Let them know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Watch them on YouTube.
Yeah, watch them on YouTube.
There's a sneaky plug. And also, Evan, if you could just send us some money for that.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Evan and JB Hi-Fi.
We appreciate
that. Send us some
huge
cash.
Huge sponsors of the show.
Yeah.
Speaking of sponsors.
Yeah.
And I would hate to like not hype this up enough because it is the best part of the
show.
It
is the most exciting. Mm. Which it's what everyone's waiting for.
It is the moment you've all been waiting for. And that is, we shut up for a second. We just stop running our stupid little mouths.
Stop flapping our gums.
Yeah. We just instead take a moment to break and just listen to a quick word from our sponsors.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh my God.
Damn, that was good.
Thank you, sponsors.
Damn. That was phenomenal. Mm.
Jackson.
What?
Did you know?
What?
That people.
What?
Who listen to this show.
What?
Or people that don't listen to this show.
What?
Can send us an email.
Oh my God.
At thumbcrampspod@gmail.com.
Yeah.
It's the easiest way to get in touch with us. Or you can tweet us at thumbcrampspod. Equal easiest way
equally
to get in
easy.
Touch.
Equally easy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
These people have. Starting off strong, a man called Joel has emailed us.
Oh, three Joels.
That's us.
Yeah.
Subject, games so good they ruin games.
Oh.
An enticing premise.
Yeah, truly.
Dear Crampons.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see what that pun was now. The year was 2018.
Mm-hmm.
I had just played through Celeste and Hollow Knight and was looking for my next game. I'd heard nothing but good things about Shovel Knight, so I bought the Treasure Trove. On Switch. Unfortunately, I was so spoiled by the flawless movement of the previous two games that Shovel Knight fell completely unplayable to me.
Mm-hmm.
I know people rave about it, but even 3 years later, I still cannot get into it just because it feels so sluggish and sloppy in comparison. My question to you is, have you ever played a game that did something so well it ruined a class of otherwise enjoyable games? Keep on cramping, Joel.
Joel, my friend, I had exactly the same experience, like to a T. I was like, Hollow Knight. Great, maybe not with Celeste, but I was like, Hollow Knight, oh my God. I need another classic platforming game, indie platformer that's got rave reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Shovel Knight. I was like, this looks gross. It plays gross. I hate it. And did exactly the same thing. Played through it. I have it on Steam. I've tried a couple of different times. I find it very boring and not fun. So, yeah.
Mm. I'm trying to think. It's definitely happened to me where I'm like, ugh, this could be this, but it's not. I reckon... Here's a preemptive one.
Yeah.
I reckon that Eternals Phoenix Rising will frustrate me because it's not quite as good as Breath of the Wild.
Yes, absolutely.
Surely there's some like real obvious ones. I feel like the like slow movement in certain games has like killed me.
Well, I mean, one, you know, funny enough, considering my review is after Uncharted 4, playing Shadow of the Tomb Raider, I was like, wow, Uncharted 4 was so full of life and a really good story and amazing set pieces, and full of the Shadow of the whatever was just sort of boring and weird. Mm. So that was kind of experience.
Again, it's a kind of going from like, say, a Hollow Knight to something else. And I think I played something called like, what was it, like Feudal Alloy or something like that, where it was like, again, the sort of platforming game where you are a robot with a fish tank on your head. And I'm just like, it's fine. It's fun. This wasn't Hollow Knight.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So, I think another version of that for me actually is The Long Dark has kind of spoiled me for a lot of survival games. So The Long Dark is everything I want out of a survival game. And then people will be like, play Raft or play the one where you're on an island or whatever. And I do, and I'm like, yeah.
Have you played Minecraft?
No, I never have.
Oh, okay. You should.
Is it good?
I think you'll like it.
Is that
it.
The Lego one?
Yeah, it's the Lego one. The block one.
Yeah, okay. I like blocks.
Yeah. Square. Everything's square.
I like squares. Best shape. So,
yeah. That's fair. Cubes. Oh, no. Wait, do you still like cubes?
No. 2D squares only.
Yeah, okay. Well, have you played Terraria?
Oh!
Wait, not squares.
Yeah. I hate it, actually.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Here's another email, and this one's from Alexander. Mm-hmm. Question for the lads. Mm-hmm. Dear Baseless Thumbing the Death Crampulations.
Yep. Oh, my God.
I was doing a thumb cramping the other day when I thought of a question for you. What is an imperfect game but has a perfect soundtrack? For me, it's Professor Layton / the Phoenix Wright crossover. The game itself is fine. The gameplay is a little too easy. The story can be nonsense at times. And maybe it's a little long. But every single song on the OST, the original soundtrack, is glorious. Both the remixes of existing songs and the new tracks are velvet on the ear.
Man, that's a great question.
Have any of you boys ever played a Professor Layton game? I would recommend the series to anyone except Jackson, who would surely be killed by any one game in the series.
Yeah. Guaranteed.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Phoenix Wright is a series that I have considered playing a game for. Professor Layton, never.
Nope. Yeah.
No.
And look, thanks for the email, Alexander, but no, I will not play a Professor Layton game.
I'm trying to think in terms of like soundtrack. I don't know about like not perfect games.
I mean, Hotline Miami has the perfect soundtrack, but is also the perfect game.
Yeah.
Like, again, Transistor, which is guys that did Hades.
And Bastion.
Bastion. I think Transistor is like one of, like, of my favorite soundtracks of a game. Like, it is so good. Like, it's one of those ones where, like, you went and downloaded it and been like, I want to press play because it was so much fun. but the game was pretty good by itself. So, again, it's kind of hard to be like, what is a dog shit game but an incredible soundtrack?
I brought it up earlier, but the game where the water tastes like wine was one of the worst gaming experiences I ever had. But actually, the soundtrack was this kind of awesome bluegrass kind of Americana 1920s hobo music that I loved.
I have the same thing with Fire and the Flood.
Yeah.
Again, not an amazing game play in terms of, like, I just didn't get what it wanted out of it. But I hear a lot of people have enjoy that game.
Yeah.
So that's, but for me, I didn't enjoy the game, but the soundtrack made me want to keep playing it. So that is an incredible soundtrack.
For sure.
The FIFA games have a good soundtrack sometimes, but they're songs of my youth.
Yeah. Burnout 3, and also just...
that's a perfect game.
It's a perfect game. Yeah, and then Burnout Paradise, also a perfect game. So it's good. So perfect games is perfect soundtracks.
Yeah. It's hard to find ones that are great soundtrack dog shit game. What games have I ever played?
There's only like four, so it should be easy to think of.
Should be easy to figure out.
Like, what was the soundtrack like for like Donkey Kong 64, one of your most hated games?
DK.
It had the Donkey Kong.
And that was pretty
good. He has no style. He has no grace. Because this Kong's got a funny face.
Mm-hmm.
If he shoots you, it's gonna hurt. Classic. Donkey Kong 64, good choice.
Yeah, thank you.
And finally, to bring us home, and this is an email from Dante. Hey, Thumberinos.
What up?
I listened to the Loop Hero episode, and I was frustrated.
Why?
By Zaman and Lena!
What?
Whoa. Yeah!
No!
I wasn't going to email in, but then I heard both Hayden and an emailer say that they were confused and frustrated by Dusha's explanation. But when I was listening, I completely understood Dusha and was invested in his review. So I got very frustrated with Zaman and Lena consistently interrupting Dusha. Am I the only listener that felt this way?
Wow.
Cheers to you, Dusha. We shared frustration in that episode. Dante.
I don't know about that.
It rules to imagine Dante is like a pen name for you.
Dante Usha. P.S. Jackson. Yeah.
What?
There is a Wario Land game on the Nintendo Virtual Boy. Have you played it? And if not, will you?
I didn't know there was one on the Nintendo. Oh, that'll be the first one, I assume.
It's also what is considered the best game on. Someone actually emailed us about this last week and you weren't there. Or the week before. Well,
whenever I was away.
Yeah, or maybe I sent it to your face. I doubt it because then this email wouldn't read this.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently the Virtual Boy Wario Land is considered the best game on Virtual Boy.
Whoa. Well, I know what I got to do.
Strap one to your head.
Yeah.
Never get comfortable.
Play that and also play Loop Hero and see if you can explain that to me.
Yeah.
Can you explain Loop Hero?
I have no idea. I watched you play it. It looked like you were underground. I don't know.
See?
I was confused. Like you were underground and doing math.
Math?
Like. Yeah. What's fractions or something. I don't know.
Okay. Now I'm... When was I... Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to email us in, you can email us at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com or you can tweet us at thumbcrampspod.
Mm-hmm.
This episode has been another...
3, 6, 9, and let's go 10 and a knuck.
Yeah, 9 and 3/4.
Oh! Platform.
Yeah. It's been a platform, Thumb.
Yeah.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've been Joel.
And until next time, you holster those thumbs, everyone.
Yeah.
Those are dangerous.
Yeah. They're deadly weapons.
Oh, slow down, cow thumb.
Yeah. Yeehaw. Hey, thanks for listening. Do us a huge favor and leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to this beautiful podcast on. Also, be sure to check out Sanspence Radio's objectively better gaming podcast, All the Small Games, hosted by Andrew Levins and John Valenzuela, two true professionals.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.